David Carey joins us once again for our parenting slot. David, good afternoon to you.
Thrilled to be here.
My brother, says this first person, is transgender and I need to tell my 5-year-old son. I'm finding it hard to cope myself. I need help with what to say to him to help him understand.
What a modern question.
Yeah, you know? Isn't it just?
Would we even have gotten this 10 years ago, Sean? I doubt it.
No.
What do you say to a 5-year-old? Maybe you don't need to say anything just yet because 5 is a bit young to begin introducing the incredibly complicated concept that you yourself, by the way, are finding it hard to cope with to a 5-year-old. If you are finding it hard to cope with yourself, then it is not the time to try to discuss it with your child. So there's your answer, really. You need to adjust to this. Your brother is your brother. If you loved him before, Your challenge is to continue loving him as he is today, because the core essence of who and what he is as a human being hasn't changed much, just the shell, so to speak. So we all have some deeply personal challenges that lie ahead in face of the modern world and the fact that people can make these choices that alter their appearance and help them become what they truly were meant to become. Because this is what we know about transgender, that these were people who were trapped either as a male in a female body or vice versa. And so he is infinitely more happy now, I would certainly hope, and therefore you should be infinitely more happy for him and put aside as best you can your difficulties, challenges, and perhaps prejudices. And until you get rid of them, you can't really speak meaningfully to your 5-year-old because I guarantee all you'll do is transmit them. Unwittingly, of course.
Yeah.
Unwittingly.
Of course, yeah. The person doesn't says my brother is transgender. Are they your brother now, or did they used to be your sister, or is it vice versa?
That's what I was wondering, too. Yeah, we're left wondering here, but it doesn't change much, really, except that you may have to stop calling your brother and start calling him your sister.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. I don't know.
The 5-year-old probably wouldn't. We'd be too young to even have noticed that the transitioning might have taken place.
Well, these transitions take place over a number of years.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't have been just this year that suddenly it all happened. I wouldn't think. Maybe it did. I don't know. But I think the thing that causes me to be cautious here is the fact that the questioner is saying they really can't cope with it. And if you can't cope with it, then don't try to talk to your 5-year-old just yet, because you'll just be transmitting your insecurity, confusion, trepidation, whatever it is you might have.
If, though, say, for instance, the 5-year-old is coming to the parent and saying, Uncle Tommy now wants to call me Auntie Jane, why is that?
Because Uncle Tommy was really Auntie Jane all along and has just tried very hard to be what he really feels she is now. You see, this is where it gets confusing.
Yeah.
How can a 5-year-old comprehend this? Maybe a listener can help people who have experienced this, because I don't think I am entirely comfortable with how I would express that to a 5-year-old. I don't know. I'm at a loss, to be honest. It's incredibly complicated to express it amongst ourselves and for us to get past our prejudices.
Yeah, I wonder, you know? Is it though, might it be less complicated for a 5-year-old because they mightn't think so rigidly in gender boxes as probably we were brought up to do?
Possibly. Possibly. Don't know. Depends on the 5-year-old, of course. Depends on what language you're going to use. However, the ugly issue of the sister's inability to cope with the change in the brother is there. And until that's worked out, I don't think it's a great idea to start going into it with the 5-year-old. Maybe another family member needs to do that.
Yeah.
Why not brother talking to 5-year-old him or herself? What he is now today? Maybe that's the best way.
Yeah.
We don't have enough context here. When did the change take place? Was the 5-year-old cognizant of the subtle changes? People who are transgender, for example, insofar as I know, are very often asked to live as the gender they wish to transform into for 1 year. In other words, they dress in female attire, wear a wig and makeup, etc. The little boy may have seen all of that. Maybe it meant nothing to him. Maybe it's happened at age 3 and it just, okay, fine, this is what's going on now. Uncle Bob likes to dress with a wig and a woman and a lipstick, and now he is what he is, and no problem.
Mm. My 3.5-year-old is very smart, and I'm not just being the proud parent who's way ahead of where my 2-year-old is now at his age. The problem is he doesn't display this in preschool, and he's less social in school from what I can gather. The teacher doesn't think he's ready to start school next year, but if you consider he's counting and spelling since 2 years of age and getting progressively better and has tons of personality, I'm not sure which way to go. His current preschool teacher seems to know her stuff, though. Please advise.
Children, generally speaking, shouldn't really be starting formal schooling until around age five. Four is a bit too young, I think, for our junior infant curriculum. I'm always much more concerned and interested in a child's social and emotional development than how well they can read, write, and spell. None of that matters in the long term of human life. If you do not understand others, have an ability to get along with them, understand their motivations and belief systems and accept them, understand your own motivations and belief systems and transform them as life progresses, you are doomed to a life of unhappiness. It doesn't matter how smart you are at reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Yeah.
The stakes are highest for social and emotional development. My advice, listen to preschool teacher with whom you have faith already, so you say, and keep them in preschool. Don't worry about the academics at this age. They'll continue to progress. You can enrich him at home with some reading age appropriate literature that you can give him and read to him and whatnot. And don't force anything beyond that. Follow the child gently. As someone once said to me, the child is your textbook, not the textbook.
Yes.
The child is the textbook. Follow gently the child. He will lead you where you need to go. Social and emotional development are the two most important things in the life of a human being, vastly more important than academic achievement.
Mm-hmm.
There is far too much fuss being made about putting fat pencils in little children's hands at age 4.5 and 5 and teaching them to write their first name on a piece of paper. That is developmentally inappropriate and utterly unnecessary. Children learn best through play. That's how they learn all kinds of concepts. And most important, through play, we learn how to get along with others, postpone our gratification, wait and take our turn, share resources, and postpone gratification and deal with frustration.
Mm.
And if you can't learn those things, that's, by the way, what we call self-regulation. If you don't learn self-regulation, you are going to grow to be a very unhappy adult.
Yeah. Now, another smart child. My 16-year-old son loves his Rubik's Cube and has studied the algorithms online. With that, he can always solve it. I think this is great and give him praise when he solves it. However, my partner won't because he believes my son is cheating because he used the internet. He has said this to my son and I'm worried it could be damaging to his self-esteem. What's your opinion?
What a spoil sport, for heaven's sakes. The boy is good at Rubik's Cube. Is it not enough just to say, you know, I've noticed you're very good at Rubik's Cube. Well on. Teach me how you did that. Oh, I found some things on the internet. Well, good for you for researching things. Why take it away like this? Why? I don't understand that.
I don't understand.
Is that
a
form
studying.
Of begrudgery or just innate kind of jealousy because the boy could do something that he can't? Just bad. Wrong.
Most people don't. Can barely spell algorithm. Don't mind look one up online and figure out what it means. I mean, that in itself is deeply impressive for a 16-year-old.
Well, I'm impressed with him, and he's 16, and this is something he loves to do. What's the problem there? Give him credit for something he loves to do. What do 16-year-olds need? To be acknowledged and encouraged for the young people they are. Not to be knocked down and being told that, oh, you cheated or you didn't really accomplish anything because you looked it up. For heaven's sakes, don't we all look things up from time to time?
Yeah.
And isn't that called research and learning about something and learning about how to solve a complicated problem? I'm not impressed.
Could it be damaging to his self-esteem?
But it depends on the context now.
Yeah,
The 16-year-old boy may be sophisticated enough to know that this man is just full of baloney
yeah.
and just dismiss it, which I hope he is, by the way.
Do you have any advice on how to stop an 8-year-old boy thumb-sucking? He doesn't do it in school, but he does it everywhere else. I've tried different things and involved him in the process, but to no avail. What can I do?
Gosh, I don't know that there's much you can do at age 8 now. He's self-soothing. It's not happening in school, fortunately, so therefore it's not causing him a huge social cost, at least in school. I wonder if it's happening when he is out playing with his mates or whatnot. Distraction sometimes helps. I would really be wanting some input from the listeners on this one, because I'm sure there are others who face the same difficulty. I simply don't know. She says, we've tried everything else with no success. So I'm sure the usual kind of remedies have already been tried with no success. Maybe just leave it alone and not point to it so much. Sometimes when we draw attention to an unfortunate habit, we're actually accidentally reinforcing its occurrence. Mm. So maybe just back out of it for a while and see what happens. Give him 3 to 6 months saying nothing and see if he doesn't. The social cost in terms of outside of school may be the inhibiting factor. If other young people notice and start making unfortunate comments, that may be enough. Now, that's a bad way to learn anything.
Yeah,
certainly not advocating it. But when you have tried everything else, and I'm going to assume this person looked it up on the internet, talked to the GP, got the ointments, all the kind of stuff you do, and it's not working, there comes a point when you just have to say, I don't have the solution. I certainly don't. But maybe someone does.
Yeah,
if you do, send in a little message.
Yeah, I mean, I know there's a concern with thumb sucking and development of teeth and all that kind of stuff.
Yes,
outside of that, and depending on how much he does it, and if he's not doing it in social situations, is it a big deal? I know adults who suck their thumb occasionally.
So do I. And I've had students in university that suck their thumb in the back of the classroom. Now, there's a social cost to that, because other people do look down on it if you're 24 years old and sucking your thumb. It doesn't create a great impression, does it?
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it that way. Is there anything ipso facto wrong with it? No, not necessarily. At 8 years old, he already has his permanent teeth. Probably not going to deform them. I don't know. We'll ask a dentist about that.
Yeah.
But I just don't know what more you can do than having done everything to no avail.
The boy with the Rubik's Cube is a future engineer. He should be encouraged and praised. Send that lad to a STEM course after school, says one texter. Kieran on Twitter says, I play guitar. I learn songs from the internet all the time, which is a good point. Give the thumb sucker a Rubik's Cube, says somebody else, tying together the two particular themes there. On the transgender question, just say they're changing their name, suggests one person. Somebody else says, how about when Uncle Tommy was a baby, we all thought Uncle Tommy was a boy, but really on the inside he was a girl. Now he wants to live his life as the girl he is on the inside. So from now on, we're going to call him Jane. The most important thing is really to model acceptance and do your best yourself to use correct pronouns and name.
I think that's very good advice, by the way.
Yeah. And Evelyn on Twitter says, a 5-year-old is accepted quicker than adults. Aunt, uncle, etc. are titles. People are who they say they are. Them. Only them. She says. Which I suppose is a good point. I suppose there's the difficulty for the, as you say, for the person who sent it. Because if you've grown up with somebody who's your brother, it's a bit of a struggle to see them any other way as your brother,
obviously.
It is,
of course, absolutely, because the eyes give us so much information about the world around us. The human brain is an incredibly visual organ. So for many years, someone has been male or female, and now they look completely different. It's going to take the brain a good while to make that adjustment into the level of tolerance. But this is a developmental process across the lifespan, really. And research has been done about how the brain grows and develops and the social connections to that brain growth and development. And the last stage is the ability to respect difference. Not to tolerate it, but to respect difference and the recognition that the world will only be saved when all people who are different start working together.
Yeah.
You know, no one group of people is going to bring us forward. We all need everyone.
Well, when we accept actually that everyone is different.
Yes.
That there actually is no norm.
That is very true.
Robin Cork says, my wife is 38 and still sucks her thumb. And someone else says, everyone in the country started school at 4 years of age. It didn't do us any harm.
I wouldn't not sorry. Be prepared to agree with that.
Yeah, sorry. I'm sorry, David, they're right. Everyone in this country is completely mentally healthy. You're out of a job. A few comments on some of the things we've been talking about. One was about an 8-year-old who's still sucking the thumb. Jill says the anti-nail biting varnish on the thumb. Well, they did say they tried various things. I have a suspicion perhaps they tried that already.
Yeah, I bet they have, yeah.
Maria says my niece is 7, similarly sucked her tongue. Her dad had a quiet word with the dentist to talk to her about the effect this could have on her teeth, which was done gently and worked immediately. Very good dentist with children, mind you, says Maria. Somebody else says, my wife is 30, still sucks her thumb subconsciously while watching TV. What's the difference between that and biting your nails or other little quirks? Well, none, really.
None.
Would have thought.
No.
My son was a finger sucker. We tried plastic gloves we got on the internet, but to no avail. He stopped with a leather made-to-measure finger stop sucking glove that had to be worn continuously for about 2 weeks. We ordered online from the US. My word. I got my 6-year-old to stop sucking her thumb by putting plasters on her thumbs at night and lots of praise the next day when they were still intact. Says this particular texter. And on the subject of the young fella who, you know, can do the Rubik's Cube and looks up algorithms online, someone says the whole point of the Rubik's Cube is to learn the maths behind it. The child will be okay. The marriage may not. We've gone to DEFCON 5 on that particular question. Sorry to bring you that bad news, but that's just somebody on Twitter saying that. My 10-year-old granddaughter told me her throat is too tight to swallow food, and that's why it takes her ages to eat anything. She's really thin and has had this problem for years. Her parents just tell her to eat. They're not addressing it at all. What help is available for this child?
Grannies.
Yeah.
Aren't they wonderful?
It sounds pretty wonderful. Serious, though.
It does, yes. Now, what should be done? Look, let's not point fingers at the parents because we don't know what they've done. If your child is telling you their throat is too tight, you would go to the GP.
Yeah.
Who will then probably refer you to an ENT woman or man who will investigate the whole issue. It could perhaps be dealt with through dietary manipulation, softer foods, for example, cutting her food into very small bites, contacting a dietitian and or a nutritionist after you've done all of the above. Beyond that, we want to make sure the child is healthy. Being thin isn't necessarily a problem. Sitting across the room from a thin person, you could probably eat a horse and never gain an ounce. Well, I could just look at the horse and gain 2 pounds. So, not necessarily worried about the girl unless she's unhealthy. Now, what can you do, Gran, to solve the problem? Have a quiet word with your daughter or son, whoever is there, and express your concern and ask what investigations they've undertaken.
Yeah. You'd think they must have done something about it. Granny's saying they're not addressing it at all.
I can't imagine any parents who, when a child says to them, my throat is too tight and I can't swallow my food, who wouldn't have that investigated, who wouldn't contact a GP. That would be negligent. No, I don't know enough about these things. Maybe there is a physical problem there. Yeah. Or maybe it could be that the child at one point swallowed a larger piece of food that irritated her throat going down, developed a little fear. Don't know. First, we ruled out all the medical in terms of is there a problem or is there not a problem. Then we manipulate food a little bit as best we can whilst keeping an eye on the child's growth rate, physical health, and nutritional status. If problems arise, we'll know just by monitoring all that and gathering data. If the child is thin but healthy, the world has room for thin but healthy people.
Yeah, if it's fine. If, though, on the off chance, Granny's right here and the parents are somewhat in denial about it, that's a trickier one.
That's a trickier one. And then I think all Gran can do is talk to mom and dad and express her concerns and her worry in a reasonable way without finger pointing and ask if there's anything she could do to help. Is there anything they would like her to do to help? Because beyond that, you can't do anything as the grandparent. All you can do is reasonably express concern. Please don't communicate blame or irritation because defenses arise immediately.
Yeah.
So in a gentle way, if this happens to be the scenario, express your concern and simply ask, is there anything I can do to help and support you through this?
And if they're really busy or stressed, maybe she could say, I'll bring you to the GP just to check it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
What harm could it do?
None.
Yeah. I have a brilliant 2.5-year-old girl, and we just had a new sister for her. She's 8 weeks old. The 2-year-old is really acting out in creche, slapping and biting and punching. She is great with her new sister, but it's obviously really affecting her. What can I do to help her and her victims?
Well, I think you need to elicit. This is regression following the arrival of the new sib. No king or queen wants to be dethroned. Now she's been dethroned. A lot of attention on the new arrival. Make sure you're mindful of giving her the proper attention that you gave before. Get the balance right as best as you can. And let's talk to preschool teacher. See what teacher has to say. If it's only happening in the preschool, regrettably, it's the early years educator responsibility to do something about it. This will pass.
Yeah.
This is an adjustment difficulty. Give it a month or two, it will disappear. Get her involved in some way with helping with the new baby and probably be okay.
Yeah, and perhaps an angle, just going back to the question we got from the granny to say that the granddaughter is not able to swallow the food. Another perhaps angle on this we missed. Ronan in Dundalk says, my son doesn't like his granny's cooking either. So it might be bad news for you, granny. Sorry about that. on the question of the transgender sibling or transgender uncle in this case, someone's written into us to say, I've experienced this as a mother of a transgender 20-year-old boy. It is difficult for the 15 and 11-year-old siblings, as it is difficult to explain to friends at school that their sister is now a brother. They are frightened of being bullied. It would be better for the 5-year-old to introduce his brother or sister from day one of school. Says this, well, it's an uncle stroke aunt. We're not too sure what it is. So hopefully it might be a little less stressful.
You know, my observations, working with dozens and dozens, maybe hundreds in the last 6 years of teenagers, secondary school students, is there is such widespread acceptance now of gender differences, of sexual identity and orientation, et cetera, that I know that slagging does happen and insults can arise, but I think there's much more acceptance of it than there ever was in the past, fortunately.
Yeah. Well, I know of several cases myself where, you know, there's in secondary schools where there are transgender kids in secondary schools.
Yeah.
And the fact that they could even do that and everyone knows they're transgender is a major step forward.
It makes me feel hopeful about the future of society when we realize that we're raising a generation of young people who, by and large, are open-minded and have enough love in their hearts to accept people who make these drastic changes.
Yeah.
I think it's wonderful.
Would you ask David what he thinks about creches? I worry about my young grandson who spent all day summer long in a creche and will be spending all of his childhood in a creche, it seems. Is it stifling? The creche doesn't have any access to the outside.
Well, I don't like the notion of creches not having access to the outside because I believe that children learn best by playing in the environment. And that includes the environment outside the walls of the creche. That goes for primary school, too. Primary school-age children, right up to and including sixth class, are not taken outside enough to have learning opportunities. So there's a little editorializing for you. What do I think of creches? I have no problem with creches. The issue here, madam, is that we have created a society in which both parents must work outside of the home in order to live, particularly in our major cities. Mm-hmm. That is a reality, and that comes down to the golden rule. We have spoken about this before. The golden rule is he or she who owns the gold rules. Who owns the gold? Mr. Noonan. Mr. Noonan rules and determines what parents in the family home must do to survive economically. And it's a very sad reality that we are forcing them to commute long distances and to work outside of the home and put our children in creches. But the research is pretty positive here. Mm. In a loving environment, a nurturing and developmentally appropriate environment in a creche, children thrive and develop quite well, socially, emotionally, and intellectually.
Going back to the school starting age, one texter says, I started school at 4 and wasn't ready at all. I hated school from then on and struggled to fit in and to make friends. So it wasn't the entire country, I'm afraid. Paddy points out that children don't start school until they are 6 in Sweden. They can only go to university from 21. They finish second level at 19 and do a useful technical course before they go to college, says Paddy. I didn't know that.
I didn't know all of that either. But we are constantly pointing the finger and looking at the Northern European countries for solutions that might not be applicable in this country in Southern Europe as well. However, what Patty is saying, it represents developmentally appropriate practice across the lifespan. I like it.
Mm. And a couple of comments, final comments from Twitter. David Carey is my therapy. Such a kind and sensible, empathetic advice. My partner and I listen every week, even though our son is 17.
Thank you for that. Thank you.
And somebody else says, David Carey is on fire today. We do have to go rush out and get a fire extinguisher. So
I'm wearing this red jumper, too.
Yes, it's totally on fire. Your weekend starts here with Movies and Booze every Friday from 3 on Moncrief.